is the Tiltcast episode 691, The Cozy Cast.
And this week, guys, we talk more Slay the Spire 2, more Tape to Tape, some Skyrim Special Edition by surprise, and the Xbox Game Showcase 2026. Stay tuned.
It's chilly and blanket time. Tune in. And we're back.
Woohoo! It's the Tiltcast.
Yes, it is. It's an M-rated show. I'm Nas.
I'm Jason, and we're still sans Rusty.
We are. I think he's out camping or something. But we had a lot go on today.
Yeah, they have a bunch of birthdays. It's good.
Life happens. So, speaking of life happening, me and Jason don't have a life today, so this is what we're doing. And it happened to be the day that Xbox Showcase came out, so we're going to talk a little bit about that and a little bit about what we've been up to.
Hell yeah, we are.
Speaking of that, Jason, what you gotten a chance to tinker around with anything this week?
I mean, I got to do a couple runs in Slay the Spire 2 and a couple more runs in Tape to Tape. That game is seriously fun. My son was watching me play it on the big TV because I finally got a dock for my Ally.
It's interesting, like, how as life changes, you end up playing the handheld more than you thought you would.
Right.
I'm in the same boat, but you've been Slay the Spire. What class are you trying to go through right now?
Oh, I'm still trying to get all of them through level 3. I just as my I don't know, like, my mood changes, there are certain characters, like the Ironclad and the Silent. I've definitely almost beat the stage 3 boss multiple times. I just haven't quite gotten over the hump. I'm usually too low in health just because I haven't gotten the right luck with the cards yet.
I've still got
quite a lot of cards to unlock to really make runs really efficient.
Let's say the Silent, I cannot get past Ascension 3 right now. I'm having the hardest time getting the right synergy with her.
Yeah, I've got her to Ascension 2, and I've got the Ironclad almost to Ascension 3, even without beating the stage 3 boss. The floor 3 boss. Like I said, I'll have a really great run going, and then, like, through all of floor 3, I'll just not get the cards I need.
No, I get that.
It all kind of falls apart.
I've been stuck on, I can't, me and my girlfriend seem to hate playing the Regent. And so we've got the Regent through level 1. He's so attack focused. I just haven't figured out the right strategy for mitigating damage and, like, getting through an area. I think we can get up to level 3. But about halfway through level 3, you run into something that just hits so hard that it just annihilates us. And, like, with the Silent, it's going to sound crazy, but I never get the quite, like, all of her cards seem to play off of each other, which is good, right? You want combos. But you'll get a card thinking, all right, this will be good to set up a Sly setup later. You get a bunch of draw cards. And then you just end up with nothing but draw cards and hardly any Slys, which does something for you, but since you've been working towards the Sly build the whole time, you don't have enough damage, and all you're doing is, like, fucking strikes. And Necrobinder and the Defect are the ones that we had the most success with. Like, Necrobinder, like, Osti build's been pretty OP. Doom build still underperforms a little bit, but the Osti build and the Soul builds on that character are great.
Yeah, the Soul build's almost kind of OP. I've got him at Ascension 2. The Necromancer there is the first character I've gotten to Ascension 3.
She's pretty OP if you realize that you can essentially hold block over between turns by building up Osti.
Yep.
And We did a lethality build with her and Asti. And so, like, we had that, I can't remember what it is, but it's a card that if for every Asti card you have in your deck, it increases its damage. And with a lethality build, even unupgraded, our lethality strikes were hitting for 130. So,
yeah,
it's just like, what?
Which means you can take down most of the elites in like three or four rounds. You can take care of the bosses pretty efficiently once you get it there. Like
we essentially had lethality and like eight poke cards, which are all free cast. Like a couple of like the shield plus soul cards to help us with like rotating our cards around. And then that card that's like, I think it's called, not Shatter, but something like that, right? We had like 9 Asti attacks. And so every time that would hit, the default damage on it was like 75. But then once you got it with lethality, even like the extra 50%, it hit for like 120 or something crazy like that. So you just one-shot shit, and it's insane. And then the bosses are just like freaking child's play. Like, but we still can't get her past Ascension 5. That's the one we're most successful with is freaking Necrobinder.
Yeah, that was my first character to Ascension 3. My second character to Ascension 3 was a defect. Who ended up actually, other than the Silent, being my, it almost made it to my favorite character from the first game. Just because if you get the right orb summoning builds, especially if you can get dark going.
Yeah, the dark plus double cast or quad cast if you get that.
Yep. That gets fucking OP real fast.
Yeah, we would do the card that gives you extra orb slots. And so we had, like, at one time we had, like, 9 orb slots. Most of them, like, part of them loaded up with ice and the other part loaded up with dark. You just rotate them, right? It hit that, and then there was that card. It's called Rainbow or whatever that, like, just throws, like, 3 orbs in there.
Yep.
And just rotate them around.
I've not gone a pure orb slot build with him yet. So I don't know what your max orbs are this time around, but like you could max out at 9 orb slots in the first game and you just wanted to be an orb generator and just let the orbs wreck shit. Just go dark and ice. So you had your block and your massive damage and just keep summoning orbs.
So it looks like the max orbs are 10.
10. Okay.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
Because you could.
So basically, that is the most OP strategy still then. I just haven't tried for it because I had fun playing around with the other mechanics that they added to the defect.
Yeah, we did that plus a barrage build where we just loaded up all the orb slots with ice. And so when he had, I want to say like 8 orb slots. So we got an automatic 16 block every turn, no matter what. And then we had focus cards. So sometimes that would go up to like freaking 24. And then the rest was just barrage, which is like 5 damage per orb. And then just kind of rotate through that with your basics. So like basically the orbs did everything for us to keep us protected. We did all of our damage with the regular cards, which was another interesting build.
Yeah.
That game has a lot of variety with a lot of stuff. Like, there's definitely certain tactics only work on certain characters, but the exhaust build for the Ironclad is really OP, and then there's what's the zero cost anger card?
Anger
that duplicates itself. Like, you can make a really skinny deck to where all you have is anger cards, and you just keep playing them over and over again, which is pretty crazy.
The one character I miss from the first game that I almost wish was there instead of the Regent is Watcher.
I don't remember Watcher.
Oh, Watcher was the...
I haven't played it so long.
It's like a Zen monk character. Hang on. This will probably jog your memory. Do-do-do, if I can get everything going here.
I don't remember playing that character. I might have to play that game again.
So that character was the character that you wanted to build what was it called? You wanted to build Mantra, and when you got to a certain level of Mantra, you went like completely Zen and could do both Unreal Block and damage. Almost like damage equivalent to like having 5 strength. On the Ironclad, when you hit that Zen state. And it was just kind of a fun character to build and play with. But I guess it was a lot of people probably thought of it as like the weakest character out of all of the ones in the first game, but I super enjoyed the gameplay with it. But either way, so I did that. I did, like I said, a couple more runs of Tape to Tape. That game's like just super enjoyable. I've still yet to build a team to actually beat the first stage. But I'm close. I'm getting there. It's just the boss of the first stage is a team built of referees. So they cheat. Like the first goal you score, they call it back. And they're incredibly hard to score on, so it's, cause they're immune to a lot of your power ups. So, but like I said, it's enjoyable. Me and Titan almost played it until, I just ran out of time. But that's all I really got to do, because the AC in my wife's car went out. So I ended up spending roughly 5 hours every day after work on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday trying to diagnose what was going on. At first, I thought it was the control bore or the resistor, like control, for the blower. Of course, that's a more expensive part of it too. Spend Tuesday evening getting that swapped out only to realize, that wasn't the problem. So then I have to take it back out. Go swap that part for the blower motor, put the blower motor in on Wednesday. Woohoo! Her air conditioning's blowing again. Put a couple cans of refrigerant in her car to charge it, and then the next day it's not blowing cold anymore. So she's definitely got a leak. I just gotta get some of that dye stuff in it and try to find the leak.
Sounds incredibly not fun.
It was. And then, so far this weekend, I've done nothing but work because, I was going to finish getting our pool set up, and then we ended up having monsoons yesterday. I say monsoons because we had, a two-hour break in between heavy rain?
Right.
All day long.
I managed to get my dog out walking. We just walked in the, it was sprinkling before it got crazy.
Right.
I did.
So my wife found a PoE, camera system with an MVR, with 8 cameras. And we've had, these cloud cameras for years. And they've mostly been okay, but we're kind of tired of paying for the subscriptions. That's $100 a year. Just for 2 cameras, and I think we have 3 cameras subscribed. So we're paying $150 a year for cameras.
That's a lot.
So she found, her being her, she found, a camera system at one of her little bin stores, at less than half of what the original retail was. She brought home, I tested it. Everything worked, so then I spent, and that was last weekend, so, I ordered everything we'd need off Amazon, custom cable, everything to do custom cables, because while they come with 60-foot cables, even in an 1,100-square-foot house, by the time you fish it up the wall, run across the attic, yada yada, whatever, 60 feet can evaporate pretty quickly. So, we ordered all of everything I needed off of Amazon, and I spent all day yesterday in and out of my attic, measuring for cables, yada yada, then fishing them up the wall and terminating them and everything else. So I got the 4 primary cameras that we've had on the cloud replaced yesterday. I still want to get 2 more up, but when it took me until 10 p.m. last night to get everything finished just for 4, I was like, I'm not doing 2 more right now.
Honestly, yesterday
I can go up in the attic later.
Yeah, yesterday wasn't as hot, so it was probably better to do it then. It's shaping up to be.
And it was still 100 degrees in my attic.
Could have been worse. Could have been 150 degrees.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, I did. I didn't do attic stuff yesterday. I walked my dog, and then my girlfriend was like, "Hey, we should make some chili or something." It's like, that sounds like a good idea. So I made some white chicken chili. My recipe uses a lot of cilantro, a lot of, for those of you who hate it because it tastes like soap, shut the fuck up, red onion, cilantro, jalapenos, serranos. I peeled some green chilies and threw that in there, a little bit of Rotel, some navy beans, and then I did something a little different. I did chicken thighs and just threw them in the pressure cooker. So I basically threw all of this stuff, plus the secret ingredients are Mexican chicken stock. So that, plus regular chicken stock mixed together, plus MSG, plus New Mexico red chili, plus white pepper, equal wind condition. And so you pour that for essentially your chili soup, right? This is what it is. You let that simmer in the crock pot on high, then you go to your Instapot, and you get chicken right at your shreds. You throw 3 chicken thighs in there. Again, add MSG to the chicken thighs. Then take that.
Damn. Are you trying to give yourself kidney stones?
No, I'm trying to give myself flavor. And then mix that in. And then we took some beef kielbasa and fried it up. While we basically, once everything was done, we fried that up and mixed that in. And so we have like chili for days. And it tastes amazing. Like so good that she ran it to her mother's today. She's like, you got to try this chili we made. She took a whole, like I made so much. There's like gallons of it. So I probably got 2 gallons of chili. So that was a win. It's so good. Like I'm looking forward to eating it again here soon. we might have a little bitty bowl right after this. And then she's like, we ought to do, we've been playing a lot of Slay the Spire. Cause that's why I was able to comment on that. I've been playing Slay the Spire back and forth. I was trying to mod. So we're talking about handheld consoles. You used your ROG Ally a lot. I use my Steam Deck quite a bit. And I wanted to play. She was like, we should play some Skyrim. I was like, how do we play that co-op? She's like, we don't. We just take turns. We'll just pick the character out. We'll figure out a build. And we'll just dive in. She's like, can you mod it? I was like, I've never tried on Linux before. And I was a little bit unsure of like how much I could add to the Steam Deck and run it with mods. So to be honest with you, I tried. I don't understand the Linux file directory quite well enough for this. And so I tried for about 30 minutes trying to get Vortex to work on there because I just wanted it to be kind of plug and play. And that wasn't working real good, so I defaulted to what was in Creation Kit so that I could get something up so we could actually play. And then I loaded up some just basic mods, like nothing game-altering, like changed the textures on the mountains, changed the trees up a little bit, changed some sky stuff, and something called Wet and Cold, which just, if you're out of the water, you're drippy. If you're in cold air, you have fog coming out of your mouth. Steam coming out of your mouth. But anyways, like, it just add a little bit of extra immersion, the extra skies, extra textures on rocks and trees, and that was it. So started running it, and it runs stupid good on the Steam Deck. I mean, I get it. It's an old game. Skyrim Anniversary Edition is what I was using. And I know there's an upgrade, but it breaks all the mods, so I didn't do the upgrade. Loaded that sucker up. We picked a wood elf. Picked a female character. She wanted to do female character. I was like, that's fine. I never play female character. We're both playing this together. We got through naming her. We really wish we'd had some different hairstyles, but you rarely look at your character anyway. And then what I didn't realize, I've talked to my girlfriend about this, but I did not realize how much Skyrim she has played. We're talking like, she's like, yo, yeah, I have like 1,000 hours in this game. It's like, what? She's like, yeah, I was just playing it like 6 months ago, and then my Xbox One died, so I haven't played it in a minute. She's like, I've been jonesing for it. It's like, all right. So we decided we're going on a dual-wield sneak build is what we wanted to try with a little bit of bow. And we played it on, got it on Legendary, which adds a level of challenge I wasn't used to. So we really had to start to figure out, there's not really a block. You know, with Skyrim, just like Oblivion, you got to do stuff to level up. So like right now, I don't know, we put like 6 hours into it last night. Just basically got to Whiterun. And then, we went through every single potion that we found, for sure. That first dungeon with the Draugr was incredibly difficult, but pretty satisfying, like, once we really, like, buckled down into it. We started specking into bow because we realized we needed the extra silent shot to help, like, thin enemies out a little bit so it could be fucking fair. And realized how important it was to have a shield slam for casters. Because that first Draugr you run into, I think everybody's played enough Skyrim to remember this, there's a Draugr you run into that casts like an ice freezing ray or something like that on you. And sure, in the regular game, you just like fucking punt his ass and he's done. In this, he's deadly as shit. So like he starts hitting you with ice, you start just blocking up, like it eats through all of your stamina. Like, in about 10 seconds, you're dead. We died to that guy like three times. And then I just figured out we had to sneak up to him and sneak attack him in the face with a power attack dual wield to get it started. And then we needed a shield to shield slam him out of that frost ray animation. So it was just like stuff like that. She showed me like how you can like power level sneak with that first spider you run into. Like she got 10 levels of sneak right there. Shooting arrows and distracting it, moving around it. And she was showing me if you don't look at stuff and you point yourself in a corner, like things don't see you as well.
Yeah.
We got pretty ridiculous with it. And then once we got done with Whiterun, she was like, hey, I'm going to show you the potion dupe bug. I was like, I haven't done that before. She's like, oh, no, I'm going to show you. And I did not. This is how much Skyrim I haven't played. I did not realize you could dump a bunch of shit on the ground right outside the gate to Whiterun and have Lydia pick it up. And then walk out the gate, come back in, and then your pile of shit's still there. And so she's like, yeah, so now we have, like, all the potions we need because this is hard. I was like, okay. She's like, and now we're going to have the dragon bones we need. She's like, even though Lydia has a limited carry weight, or she says she does, she will pick up anything for you. It doesn't matter, and she doesn't slow down. So Lydia is now our pack mule.
Oh, yeah, you didn't realize that all the time she played Skyrim?
No, I just kind of went with the flow and just kind of mostly played solo. I've always just adventured. But I didn't play Skyrim like my girlfriend does. So, we have a lot of fun. Runs at 60 FPS on the Steam Deck with a couple of mods, which is great. And I'm using it through a dock, so we're playing it on a TV. And it's just nice and cozy, right? Like, it's nice and rainy outside, like, perfect for a fantasy RPG. That's actually what I'm doing tonight again. Tonight is Skyrim night again. We're doing this as a change up from Slay the Spire.
Nice.
And then the next thing we're going to challenge our relationship with is Dark Souls. co-op.
Oh, boy.
I know some things if you didn't know. Mortal Shell 2 demo released very recently. And I haven't played enough of it yet, but if you are interested, it seems like the combat is snappier than the last game. Mortal Shell 1 was pretty good, but it was pretty linear and pretty short.
It was.
Mortal Shell, like, the biggest thing is it has kind of like soul-style combat, but you are the weapon. Like, every character, every shell that you get is a different weapon and archetype and things like that. And I haven't gotten far enough in it, but A, looks really good. B, plays really good. Just not as much build variety as you get with the Dark Souls, but it looks cool as shit. And then this morning, right before we jumped on the podcast, and what I'm eager to jump back into for just a minute before I jump into more Skyrim is Gothic Remake, which looks fantastic. That is one of the best looking games I'm playing this year right now. And it was $49.99. So not $70. And about 50 nice. And about 50 gigs. And if you can find it on Green Man, Green Man's out of stock right now. They have it for $39.99. So $10 off. Once you spend like $100 in Green Man, you get everything at an extra discount. So, God, we should just get them to sponsor us. I need a shirt or something. Like, I use them every chance I get. It's like Steam. Okay, what's Green Man say first? Okay, if Green Man's not cheaper, then I'll go back to Steam. If I'm really sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, in the well, go ahead.
We definitely use them a lot.
I use it pretty religiously. It's one of the few like resale sites that's actually super legit. You can even get PlayStation games on there, which is pretty crazy. But that being said, do we want to take a quick break and talk about this Xbox Game Showcase?
Heck yeah, because we got a lot of ground to cover with that.
All right, guys, we'll be back. Woo-hoo! Went through the virtual showcase from the Xbox Game Showcase that literally happened 2 hours ago. Yeah. Actually wrapped up less than 2 hours ago. So this is all super fresh. And me and Jason are not going to cover live streams of this stuff, but we're going to give some thoughts. And I was thinking about it. So maybe I'll wrap this up. I feel like there are more bangers than not in this group of games. And some games I don't want real excited for that would still be bangers for some people. So like starting off like Modern Warfare, sure, whatever, right? But then they had Gears of War E-Day. And Gears of War E-Day is like a prequel to the first Gears game, and it shows, I guess, what planet is that? Is it Earth?
Ceres.
Ceres. So it's the emergence of the Locust on that. Or is it Locust?
Yeah, it's the reemergence of Locust, of the Locust. That's why they called it E-Day, Emergence Day.
Emergence Day, that's right. Yeah, and it, looking at the gameplay, like I remarked to Jason early on, it's like the familiar gameplay that we're used to with Gears, but it's like in a setting that feels more familiar. Like there's a whole scene while they're in a grocery store fighting Locust. And I was like, it's nice to have something that doesn't look super futuristic, that kind of feels familiar and then feels a little bit more personal or whatever. But I don't know. It looked like more Gears. It looked good. If it's good, I don't know. But Gears typically has been solid. Even the off Gears games have been fairly solid. And it'll be
yeah, okay. I mean, the only one that really kind of disappointed me was Gears 5.
Yeah.
Which I feel like it did a lot of people.
Well, and Game Pass went down, right? So, like, we didn't really ever talk about it, yeah. But they got that new CEO, and, like, I feel like she's been rebuilding everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, PC Game Pass is now $13.99, which is fantastic. And then you got the, like, the highest tier price you can get is $22.99. And for a little while, it was, like, $30. So, I think... That is,
and all they had to do was take Call of Duty away from day one access. Hey, I'm okay with that.
None of us give a
shit. I don't need Call of Duty in Game Pass.
It's an extremely expensive game, and I think it took away so much of their profitability that like it made it. They realized like not enough people play. The people going to play Call of Duty are going to buy it, and that's the only game they're going to play.
Yeah.
We don't care. But then we go back to like ripping on nostalgia, right? We go through the regular franchise hits. Halo campaign involved remake has a new DLC that comes with it to talk about the camp or talk about the events leading up to that. And it looked really good. Not gonna lie. That looked really good. It wasn't 343. I don't know who Halo Studios is, but it's not 343 and obviously not Bungie, but whoever cut the trailer did a good job of making me feel like we're back. You know, like Xbox, like the last 2-3 years has really not been releasing bangers, and I'm okay with some, like, think about how long ago Halo came out. Like that came out when I was barely in college. Like that's game.
Yeah. Halo Studios is 343.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Just they apparently rebranded it back in 2024.
Okay. Well, they've got a lot of work to do still, but if that's what they need to do, like, again, a lot of like 40 plus year old gamers are going to be excited about that. And we will play the hell out of it.
I mean, yeah, if you're giving me classic multiplayer, obviously online now.
Right.
Because everything is. You give me that back. You give me three new missions in addition to the classic campaign, and you're just giving me the classic campaign, like, in modern graphics? Hell yes.
I wonder, too, like...
play the shit out of that.
Like, hopefully there's some kind of couch co-op with it. That would be really nice. I'd absolutely play this with my girlfriend.
Let's see. I mean, I'm sure the information's out there somewhere. I'm just not seeing it. Oh, Halo. Supports two-player local split-screen co-op on consoles, as well as four-player online co-op with cross-play and cross-progression. So it doesn't look like we'll have local co-op on PC.
Yeah, but then they also, they've got that newly released console. Not console, but the... It's like a classic throwback with a big clear green box and a clear controller.
Yeah.
Which, that doesn't look bad. I just don't have a place to put it.
Right.
I don't have spaces for consoles like I used to. I got too much shit in the house. I'd have to sit on top of my other PC, my actual PC. But that being said, Metro 2039 Hunter. Saw a little bit of gameplay of that, which looked like more Metro, which... Every Metro so far has been good.
Like, yep.
I'm okay with another linear progression post-apocalyptic story. Is good.
I am too. I mean, I thought, and it looks more like this one's possibly going to go more back in, a little heavier into the stealth horror gameplay. I felt like they... missed a lot of that with Exodus.
Yeah, Exodus being... It's not claustrophobic at all.
No, it's not. And a lot of why Last Light is my favorite Metro game still is the absolute claustrophobia it almost made you feel playing through that game in parts.
Yeah, there's been some... Like, there's a lot of, like... thematic crossover between like a Metro and a what is the other game I'm having a hard time remembering right now?
Stalker 2,
yeah, just the Stalker series and Metro. But Metro is always a little bit more story based and a little bit more focused in that area and less open world, where Stalker was more open world. And I think Metro, because it is so focused, does a really good job. I like the resource management of making all of your shots count. Like, it always gives you enough ammo to do that, but not enough ammo to just, like, spray and pray like a crazy person.
Yeah.
So it makes you really kind
of... Which is kind of what Exodus almost allowed you to do, and I felt like that kind of took away from the gameplay.
I don't disagree. Exodus is pretty good. Like, again, there's not a bad Stalker game, but or Metro game, but the... Going back in the tunnels is definitely going to be something I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, I felt like the tight progression, the tight maps, the tight levels always made made Metro feel even more intense than Stalker.
I agree.
And I really like that intensity. I like being forced to go slow to survive. Playing through Stalker 2, I felt like I could easily run and gun the whole game. And that kind of disappointed me a little bit. So, I'm not saying that Stalker 2 is a bad game. It's not. I just really love the Metro series more. But that said, I mean, that's not the only sequel we're getting. We're also getting a 40-year sequel to a Castlevania game.
Yeah, that part was weird. So
Castlevania 3 was Dracula's Curse, I think, came out in 86 or 87. And they revealed... gameplay and cinematic trailer for Castlevania Belmont's Curse, which is scheduled to come out in October, and it looks like a 2D combat game similar to Ori, similar to, gosh, how many games could you name off, Justin? I mean, we play so many platformers.
Yeah, I mean,
but it's a return to Castlevania's 2D roots,
and it looks
really smooth.
Yeah, it looked like it flowed quite well.
So I'm down for that. You know, of course, I'll wait to see how good it is before I plunge into it, but definitely looked interesting. Definitely looked interesting. And then they also announced another sequel. This time, Ninja Theory is just titling it simply Senua.
It looks more combat focused.
It does look more combat focused. It looks a little bit more akin to the newer God of War games as far as the combat gameplay looked. Still looks like they're keeping a good bit of the stealth elements. Of course, it being a Ninja Theory game, the visuals look still out of this world. It is a beautiful looking trailer. And I mean, if there's one thing I can say about Hellblade 2 was that it definitely, I think, looked even better than the trailers when it actually came out. It was just a beautiful game to go through, but, you know, Justin and I both agree that that game went a little bit too far into putting you on rails.
Right.
To the point that even the combat felt like you were being pushed instead of having a choice. So, you know, it definitely looks like they're correcting away from that this time around, which I'm all for if it turns out to be true. I don't mind that series becoming a God of War clone. That's perfectly fine, just long as they keep that story coming. Because as confusing as it can be in parts, Senua's story is definitely interesting.
Yeah,
especially with all the elements they brought in the last game about the gods and everything else.
Yeah, I'm interested. The thing I was like looking at is it just looked like it was more gameplay focused, and that was something I think the last one needed. But that being said, there are some other franchises that are coming out. Like, been talking about Fable forever. We finally saw a trailer that had some of the combat and things that were going on, and I remember remarking to you that, like, hey, this actually looks darker than I expected it to be. And so I'm really interested to see where they take that series. Should be on Game Pass, so shouldn't be too much of a risk if you're paying for that subscription to give it a shot. I know I certainly will probably try it out. Unless it just comes out and it's broken as shit, and I don't want to waste the hard drive space. But Fable finally got a trailer really showing gameplay off, and that was a cool thing.
Yeah, and it definitely looked like a much darker vibe, like closer to the first two Dragon Age games. And I think I'm really okay with that. I just don't know. Like, rumor is that you're not going to have the corruption heroism like paths. I just don't know what a Fable game is without those choices. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's kind of a wait and see for me.
There's a few other games that are coming out, though. There was more bangers than not, like as we're kind of going through this Minecraft Dungeons 2. Not really looking forward to it. Wolong 2. All right, I guess we'll see. State of Decay 3. I like State of Decay. Jason doesn't like State of Decay. We'll see. More State of Decay is not a horrible thing. I just couldn't tell what was different about this one versus other ones. Resonance was a game that looked like it's in the Plague Tale universe, and Plague Tale 1 and 2 are very good. Also, like, very good in terms of technology. The rat swarms were pretty crazy.
Yeah, especially in the second one.
Yeah, they got intense. Resonance is in that same universe, but following a female protagonist that dual wields. Which I guess we'll just see but the combat looked pretty fluid, so we'll see how that goes. Spyro, A Realm Beyond, yeah, I'm not 12 anymore, so didn't really check that out. But Clockwork, the Revelation, or whatever the hell it's called, is the game coming out from In Exile. I really like the writing from In Exile, right? Like, one of my favorite games of all time is Fallout 2. And I really liked Wasteland 2 and 3 quite a bit. Not going to lie, like the Bard's Tale game that came out was a little bit of a letdown and didn't flow real smooth. The graphics weren't great and the story was okay and the puzzles were okay, but it definitely wasn't their best effort, even though it seems like it was a labor of love. This has this whole mechanic of like going back in time to change things as you play the game. So I'm really curious as to what that is and how that works. And it looks pretty good. Writing looks like it's very In Exile. So definitely we'll be giving that a
yes,
shot.
Yes, it does.
There is a Persona 4 Revival release and Persona 6 that are coming out, which I'm not a Persona guy. I've tried really hard, but not really. Shin Megami Tensei is more my jam when it comes to that kind of game. Where Winds Meet, could care less. Things that really like, Crazy Taxi, again, could care less. Microsoft Flight Simulator, could care less. Elder Scrolls Online updates, Fallout 76 updates, Age of Empires 4 updates, could care less. Bag Magpie, shitty looking indie game. I loved indie games. That one looked really cheap. Could care less. Same with Vivarium. But there were a few standouts out of all of that stuff that I haven't mentioned, and that was Join Us, which I read about it as being a cult simulator, but I didn't realize it had a reason for the cult. It's because you're surviving the apocalypse, and the apocalypse looks like, I don't know if there's multiple scenarios, but the one they showed was like a very elder god apocalypse. So you're recruiting people to survive that apocalypse as part of your cult. There's a whole bunch of like, it looked like it had a pretty cheeky take on it. So it was kind of funny, but like the graphics are kind of realistic. There was a lot of combat shown and a lot of base building shown. And I was like, I'm all about all of these things, except for the cult part. But the whole build up a cult versus the apocalypse is kind of a neat idea. So I'm really curious as to how that plays out. Another one that really surprised me was Madricians, the Devil's Deal, or whatever that was called. I looked at that and I was like, I'm not going to watch it. And I was like, I'll go ahead and watch it. Me and Jason are going through trailers. And it looked like a magic type Bioshock, right? Like each hand had a different weapon or ability that you were kind of combining stuff together to do combo damage. And so you were a magician. You made a deal with the devil.
Yeah. It looked like combat via stage magic, which is kind of cool.
It's kind of cool. Kind of dorky, but also kind of cool in practice when you see it. So if you haven't seen the trailer for that, yeah, it's on paper, it sounds ridiculous, but it actually looked pretty neat. So I'm really curious as to how that actually ends up playing out. The last one I was going to talk about, though, I'll talk about another one. The Doom the Dark Ages has a new DLC coming out. That looked pretty good. The only thing I said was, looks like they're going back to flying all over the place. There's a whole lot of like grappling hook moves, essentially, to keep you suspended in the air while you fight stuff, which I wasn't a fan of that in Doom Eternal, though I know you, like, forced yourself through that game, and I just, after a certain point, I was just like, nope, I'm done. I'm not having fun anymore. This is too... I can't relax because it feels like it's always expecting you to have an input every second of that game. Like, every time you get into a fight, it's just like, you can't breathe. There's just too much going on.
But at least with this, it looks like they're not forcing their combat down your throat. It looks like more of a choice.
Yeah, so I'm very excited for that.
Yeah.
The last one, they didn't give us a whole lot of details on it, but I've been looking forward to this for a while. It's called Valor Mortis. And it looks like an alternate take on, like, the French Revolution or something. It shows some people in, like, classic French soldier outfits. I know Napoleon was a character in this game. But anyways, these soldiers are getting twisted into weird creatures, and you're fighting them very much in a Souls-style first-person combat. It's not, you know, that's not soul style, but it seemed like there was a lot of deliberate parry and block and fight and cool animations for finishers. And I'm all about that life. So I am looking forward like crazy to Valor Mortis to see if that's any good. But when you think about like total games that like is, if I'm looking at this, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Let me skip the DLCs. 9, 10, 11, 12. There's 12 games in that I was looking forward to.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
That's more than normal.
There is definitely more to look forward to, it looks like, coming up this year versus last several years. I mean, we've had a lot of letdowns. So,
these look like... There's a lot of straight bangers here.
Yeah.
The only place they didn't over-deliver on is in the indie department, unless you consider NXL an indie studio, and I don't really consider that, or the people that make State of Decay, but I don't think they're indie studios anymore.
Not really, no. I mean, they've got the power of Microsoft behind them. I don't know that you can really say that a studio with that kind of financial backing can really be considered indie.
Right. Well, I know there's probably other news out there, but nobody cares about that stuff when this is going on. So, Jason, where can you find us?
Find us at tiltcast.com. Find us on Facebook and x.com/tiltcast. Our YouTube channel is youtube.com/tiltcastshorts with a Z, and search for us on iTunes and Spotify. Subscribe.
Find the only friends of this show since everybody else quit. That would be tvgp.tv. They do fantastic things, and Picking Up the Pixels, which is their other podcast, or pubcast. And with that, it's the end of the show.
All right. Peace.